every week's like we haven't seen before.
Ware and Rima, 7 till 9. News Talk 550 KTSA and FM 1071.
Welcome to the jungle. Welcome to the jungle, Mr. Rima.
Welcome to the jungle, Mr. Ware.
So we are getting you the latest on COVID-19, and we're going to visit with Dr. Hartzler now from UTSA. He's going to join us and talk now about what all this means when the president came out yesterday and said, get ready for 2 to 3 weeks. He said it could be a hell of a 2 to 3 weeks, according to what the president, that's a quote from the president. We wanted to visit with Dr. Hartzler from UTSA and talk about this a little bit and find out what we can anticipate, what might happen over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and why everybody up there on that panel yesterday, from the president to Dr. Fauci to Dr. Birx and the rest of them, look like they'd seen a ghost yesterday when they're talking about numbers of 100,000 to 200,000, maybe even up to 240,000, who may die in the next 2 to 3 weeks, but also bending the curve and those kind of conversations that are happening. It's Trey Ware and Sean Rima on KTSA. And Dr. Hartzler, thank you for your time this morning. Great to have you on.
Yeah, it's my pleasure.
So when they started talking yesterday about deaths somewhere in the range of 100,000 at the low end, up to 240,000 at the high end over the next couple of weeks, that's just, those are kind of numbers that are just really hard for us to even swallow and believe.
Yeah, it's a lot, and I guess that's based on their mathematical projections. And I can say anecdotally, we're seeing that the number of cases is still rising exponentially at this point. And so we've seen, I think at this point, it's so hard to keep track of the numbers, but I think there have been about 4,000 deaths now. And again, the number of cases continues to climb so rapidly. So I think we'll see over the next few weeks whether our efforts to keep people inside and reduce the spread of the virus is going to, as you said, bend that curve. But right now it's looking like we're still seeing more and more cases every day.
Let me ask you about that, and then my partner Sean is going to ask you a question. When it comes to the cases, is it, and I don't even know if there's an answer to this really, but you would know, is it really new infection when we see these numbers go up every day? That's new infection. Or are these newly confirmed cases because we're getting more of the test results back and there's more testing being done?
Yeah, so that's a great question. It is just over the last few weeks here in San Antonio that we've gotten good access to the testing. And so I think our local numbers definitely include some increase in, you know, not in infections, but really in finally diagnosing people that have infections. But on the whole, I'll just say, you know, you asked, is the total number of cases rising or is new infections rising? At this point, it's, at least in the United States, it's both. So obviously, as you diagnose more cases, the total number goes up, but it looks like the number of new infections is also still increasing.
Sean?
As far as yesterday's press conference, and, Trey and I have been talking about how, you know, we could see the graveness, the gravity in their faces when they came out. As far as how these models work, would they have known or had a basic idea that we're looking at 100 to 240,000 who will lose their lives for a period of time? Or is this something that only the most recent models would have shown them yesterday or the day before?
Well, I think there's been an understanding that this is still increasing, and that we were looking. I mean, I've been hearing that we thought mid to late April was really going to be the most critical period. We've been talking about that at University Hospital for over a week as sort of the projection when we think we need to be ready for a big influx of patients. Yeah, I don't know that there was anything new. I mean, as time goes on, you get more information, and your models can be more accurate, but I think we've all seen that. Right. This continues to, as I said, increase exponentially.
Yeah. One of the figures also that we're hearing a lot about is the mortality rate, and you know, it's varying widely right now because, you know, Lancet put out something that backed up another study that was done earlier in the week saying the mortality rates are actually coming down on this. The more testing and the more positive results we're getting, we're seeing the mortality rates come down. But yet, when we look at numbers of ventilators that they are trying to get their hands on, what are you seeing there at UT, the Health Science Center, concerning you know, ventilator usage? Is it a high percentage of patients that will actually have to go on a ventilator? Is that a minimal number of patients? How do you break that down?
You know, if from other centers, we have seen a fairly high proportion that need ventilators. We just have a handful of cases still. And so it's maybe too early for us to say what we're going to need, but yeah, definitely the ventilators are a big part of that. And you mentioned the mortality. The numbers that we see are generally the mortality if people get access to, you know, complete medical care. And so if we run out of ventilators, then the mortality number is going to be much higher. We do certainly at University Hospital have plans to increase the number of ventilators, increase the number of ICU beds well beyond what we normally run there.
How if I could jump in, just how are you guys doing at university as far as, you know, we all our thoughts and prayers and hearts go out to the medical professionals on the front lines of this. How are the folks handling it who work there? I mean, I know they're professionals and they're doing their job no matter what, but this has got to be tremendously emotionally taxing on them as well.
I think it is. And I think, you know, as a whole, people are handling it very well. I think it's one of those teams that perform well can really come together under pressure. And that's, for the most part, what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. I think I've observed occasionally people freaking out about things. You know, fortunately, again, we just have a handful of cases. And so we haven't really been at great risk at this point, but it's definitely coming. And as I said, I think I've been really impressed with the way people are working together. I think we're using the time, you know, we've been looking at this as sort of the calm before the storm, at least locally, and we're using this time to get everything ready. So looking ahead, since we don't have a lot of cases now, but we're looking at, do we have the ventilators? Do we have the ICU beds that we need? How do we increase nursing staff? How do we expand all of these services that we think we're going to need much more resources than we do in normal times?
Let me ask you one more thing before we let you go, Doctor, and I really appreciate your time being on with us this morning. And we're visiting with Dr. Anthony Hartzler, who is the Associate Professor of Hospital Medicine, UT Health, San Antonio. And they are tremendous. We are so blessed to have them in San Antonio because the work that they're doing there has always been tremendous. Dr. Fauci talked yesterday about how many different platforms and resolutions are going on or working on, being worked right now. There's been a lot of talk about the hydroxy that the president's been talking about, combining that with the Z-Pak. He continues to talk a lot about that. That is in testing right now. You've got a couple of vaccines that they have been working on that they've been trying. There's news out this morning about a new protein that would bind to a different protein. I don't understand any of this, but over in Houston, we just had the case taking the blood plasma from patients who have recovered and putting it into critically ill patients. And Dr. Fauci mentioned that yesterday. What kind of things are the most promising? What kind of things are going on at UT that would offer some promise with all this that's happening in America right now, all across the country, trying to find an answer for this?
Right. So it's like you said, there's many things that are being looked at, and some of the most promising ones are things like hydroxychloroquine, and actually the drug remdesivir is also being looked at. That's an antiviral drug as well. And the reason we think these are promising is because when you put the virus in a test tube with them, we see a lot of activity against the virus. Of course, in medical science, you can't rely on that to say it's going to help a patient. You need to do carefully controlled trials to see, are these things actually helping? And so that's one of the things we're doing at UT Health in conjunction with University Hospital, is we are a study center that is doing one of these trials on remdesivir, which is the antiviral drug that has activity against the coronavirus. And so not only are we treating patients with this, hoping to benefit them, but we're also going to find out for sure, does this drug actually work or not?
Very good. Dr. Anthony Hartzler, thank you very much, sir. We'd like to call on you again. We appreciate you being on the show this morning.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you for all the hard work you guys are doing out there. Warren Ryman continues here on 550 KTSA and FM 1071. So our friends at Alamo Water Softeners are ready to take care of your hard water problem at your home. And if you don't have a great soft water softening conditioning system at your home, then you have hard water, and hard water is really bad. It's really bad at all times, but it's particularly bad right now. And the reason for that is you want to be able to make sure that everything is getting as clean as possible. And nothing cleans better than soft water, whether you're talking about cleaning your hands, cleaning the rest of your body, cleaning your clothes, cleaning the appliances in your home, or anything. Soft water is the best answer. And the best soft water comes from our friends at Alamo Water Softeners. Right here in San Antonio is where they make them. So they're not buying them from somewhere else, sending money off somewhere else, and then, you know, trucking them into San Antonio. They're made right here by your neighbors here. So you're helping to employ local folks when you buy an Alamo Water Softener. Plus, you're talking about the safety of having soft water in your home. Your friends at Alamo Water Softeners are ready to roll today, and all you got to do is give them a call at 210-274-6122, and they'll take it from there at Alamo Water Softeners. AccuWeather forecast, partly cloudy today, about 78. The last chance it will see consistent sunshine, I think, for the next several days, because there's going to be showers in the area tomorrow, about 74. On Friday, even more showers, and that'll build as time goes on. More showers on Friday, about 79. The weekend, we're going to get showers off and on both days, and high